Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts. Here's Daniel's prompt.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So we were talking the other day, or we have talked at various points about topics like GPS jamming and things that touch upon electronic warfare and electronic communications. One thing that we haven't talked about, which is, I think, sort of kind of related, especially here in Israel, is the regulation of the radio frequency, or RF hygiene. I think we were saying that at one point, Israel has a reputation for being very bureaucratic, and I think in many regards, it's still true. I haven't found it too overly bureaucratic, except in one specific area. We're talking about buying things on the internet, and that's wireless devices. Very, very strict, regulations around the import of anything wireless. It could be, you know, Wi-Fi routers, even some things that you wouldn't really even kind of think of as operating on the radio spectrum. It could be, you know, wireless headphones, which I guess Bluetooth is a type of radio, right? So in Israel, it's kind of understandable why things have to be so strict. It's a country with unique and ongoing security requirements. But in general, the radio frequency spectrum or RF spectrum is becoming an increasingly important topic, especially with things like drones, signals needed to disrupt drones. And there's only so much radio space. So how do countries like Israel and the regulators who are devising these rules, presumably for a good reason, keep that separation between, let's say, what the military needs and government needs without overly impinging upon the ability of regular people to do regular things like owning Wi-Fi routers? What goes into that? And if you do something like, you know, broadcast on a restricted network, what actually happens to someone, like, kind of use triangulation to, like, will they come down and, like, find exactly where you're transmitting from and show up in some kind of federal van, just like you'd imagine happens in the movies? How does that work today in practice?
Welcome back to episode 270 of My Weird Prompts. I am Corn, and I am sitting here in our living room in Jerusalem, looking out at a very grey, rainy January afternoon.
And I am Herman Poppleberry. It is definitely a stay inside and read white papers kind of day, Corn. Although, to be fair, for me, that is every day.
It really is. So, our housemate Daniel sent us an audio prompt today that hits very close to home. He was talking about the invisible world that surrounds us every second of every day. We are talking about the radio frequency spectrum.
Radio frequency hygiene. I love that term. It sounds so clinical, but it is actually the foundation of our entire modern existence. Without proper RF hygiene, your phone is a brick, your Wi-Fi is a mess, and planes cannot land safely.
Right, and Daniel specifically mentioned the bureaucracy here in Israel. If you have ever tried to order a wireless device from abroad and had it stuck in customs because the Ministry of Communications needed to approve its frequency, you know exactly the frustration he is talking about. He wants to know how countries like Israel balance the heavy-duty military requirements for spectrum with the needs of regular people like us who just want our wireless headphones to work.
It is a massive balancing act, and it is more complicated than most people realize. We are talking about a finite natural resource. People think of the air as empty, but in terms of electromagnetics, it is more like a crowded highway where every lane is narrow and there are no off-ramps.
I like that analogy. So, let us start with the basics for a second, Herman. When we say the spectrum is a finite resource, what does that actually look like in practice in 2026?
Think of the radio spectrum as a long strip of land. You have different plots for different uses. Some plots are for FM radio, some are for television, others are for mobile phones, and then you have these huge swaths reserved for things like maritime navigation, satellite communications, and of course, the military. In Israel, the military footprint is massive. Because of the security situation, the Israel Defense Forces, or the IDF, needs reliable, interference-free channels for everything from Iron Dome communications to door clearing radar.
And that is where the tension starts, right? Because as technology advances, we are shoving more and more civilian devices into that same strip of land. We have gone from 5G to 6G research, we have Wi-Fi 7 now, and thousands of low Earth orbit satellites like Starlink. Everyone wants a piece of the pie.
Exactly. And the Ministry of Communications here has to play the role of the ultimate traffic cop. They use something called the National Frequency Table. It is a massive document that dictates exactly which frequency ranges can be used for what. If a new technology comes out, say a new type of high-speed industrial sensor, they have to figure out where it fits without making the military's radar systems go haywire.
Daniel mentioned the import restrictions. I remember when he tried to bring in that high-end mesh router last year. It got flagged because it used a specific part of the 6 GHz band that had not been fully cleared for civilian use here yet. It felt like overkill at the time, but I suppose there is a reason for it.
There is. If you have 1,000 people all using unapproved high-power routers that bleed into frequencies used by emergency services or military aviation, you are not just looking at slow internet, you are looking at potential life and death interference. In a small, densely populated country like Israel, that interference travels fast. You cannot just hide in the noise like you might be able to in the middle of the Australian outback or the American Midwest.
So, an IntelliDef base in work. Is it just the military saying we want all of this and the government saying okay?
It used to be closer to that, but it has become much more of a negotiation. There is a committee that includes representatives from the Ministry of Communications, the Ministry of Defense, and various security agencies. They have to find ways to share the spectrum. This is a big trend in 2026 called dynamic spectrum access. Instead of giving a frequency to the military 24/7, you use software-defined radios to say, hey, the military is not using Rishiograk area, so let it you white.
That sounds incredibly complex to coordinate.
It is. It requires a lot of trust and some very sophisticated hardware, but it is the only way forward. We are running out of empty lanes on that highway we talked about.
I want to get into what happens when someone breaks the rules. But first, let us take a quick break for our sponsors.
Are you worried about the invisible rays bouncing off your walls? Do you feel like your neighbor's Wi-Fi is judging your life choices? Introducing the Tinfoil Tuxedo. It is not just a fashion statement. It is a full-body electromagnetic shield. Made from genuine, high-grade, recycled aluminum alloys, the Tinfoil Tuxedo ensures that your personal data stays inside your suit and the government's thoughts stay outside your head. Perfect for weddings, funerals, or just sitting in your base icon by Tannenoak.
Thanks, Larry. I am not sure if a tinfoil tuxedo is the answer to RF hygiene, but it certainly is a choice.
I think I would just end up looking like a very confused baked potato.
Anyway, back to the real world. Daniel asked about the enforcement side of things. What happens if someone actually broadcasts on a restricted network? Say some hobbyist gets a high-powered transmitter and decides to start their own pirate radio station on a military frequency. Or more likely, a company uses industrial equipment that is not properly shielded.
This is where it gets very Mission Impossible very quickly. The Ministry of Communications has an enforcement division. They have these specialized vans that are basically mobile signal laboratories. They are covered in different types of antennas, some of which are directional.
Like the ones you see in old spy movies?
Exactly, but much more advanced. They use a technique called direction finding, or DF. If a signal is detected on a restricted band, the system can analyze the angle of arrival of that signal from multiple locations. If you have two or three of these vans, or even fixed sensor stations around the city, you can use simple geometry to find the intersection point. That is, triangulation.
But wait, triangulation is the old school way, right? Is that still the primary method?
It is still used, but the gold standard now is something called TDOW, which stands for time difference of arrival. Because radio waves travel at the speed of light, if you have three receivers and you know exactly when the signal hit each one, you can calculate the distance to the source with incredible precision. We are talking about being able to pin a transmitter down to a specific room in an apartment building.
That is wild. So, if I am running an illegal transmitter in my bedroom, they do not just know I am in the neighborhood, they know which floor I am on.
If they have enough sensors, yes. And it is not just about finding the location. Modern signal analysis can identify the fingerprint of the transmitter. Every piece of radio hardware has tiny, unique imperfections in how it generates a signal. They can tell if it is a specific model of a cheap Chinese-made toy or a high-end commercial transmitter.
So, what does the intervention look like? Do they just show up and knock on the door?
Usually, yes. In most cases, it is not a SWAT team. It is a couple of inspectors with a warrant. They will seize the equipment and issue a very heavy fine. If it is an intentional disruption of military or emergency frequencies, then it becomes a criminal matter very quickly. We saw this a lot during the early days of drone hobbyists. People would buy these powerful video transmitters that were meant for the American market, which uses different frequencies than Europe or Israel AIM. They will click a pentacular
That is the part people do not think about. You think you are just playing with a toy, but you are actually polluting the environment for everyone else. It is like dumping trash in a public park, except the trash is invisible and moves at the speed of light.
That is a great way to put it. RF pollution is a real thing. And it is not just illegal transmitters. It can be something as simple as a microwave with a bad seal or a poorly shielded LED light bulb. Those things can create noise that raises the floor for everyone else. If the noise floor is too high, your phone has to work harder, use more battery, and you get slower speeds.
Daniel also mentioned GPS jamming. We have talked about this a bit in passing, but it has been a huge issue here lately. I know when I open Waze some mornings, it thinks I am at the airport in Beirut instead of in downtown Jerusalem. How does that fit into this regulatory and military balance?
That is a perfect example of the military taking priority over the civilian spectrum for security reasons. GPS, or GNSS, operates on specific frequencies around 1.2 and 1.5 GHz. When the military uses electronic warfare to jam or spoof those signals, they are essentially screaming so loud on those frequencies that the tiny quiet whispers from the satellites cannot be heard.
And from a regulatory standpoint, they are allowed to do that?
In a state of emergency or for defense, yes. The military has the ultimate right of way in those situations. But it creates a massive headache for the Ministry of Communications because it affects everything. It is not just navigation, it is the timing synchronization for the cellular network, the power grid, and even high-frequency trading in the financial markets. Everything relies on that GPS clock.
It really highlights how fragile this whole system is. We have built our entire society on top of these invisible waves, and most people have no idea how they are managed or protected.
It is the ultimate hidden infrastructure. It is like the plumbing of the 21st century. You only notice it when it stops working or when something starts leaking.
So, if someone is listening to this, and they are worried about their own RF hygiene, what are the practical takeaways? I mean, obviously, do not start a pirate radio station on military bands, but for the average person.
Number one is to be careful about what you buy online. If you are importing a wireless device, make sure it is compliant with local regulations. In Israel, look for the Ministry of Communications approval. If you are in the United States, look for the FCC mark. These regulations exist to ensure that the device stays in its lane and does not bleed into yours or anyone else's.
And what about at home? Can we do anything to make our own invisible environment better?
Absolutely. One of the biggest things is just basic placement. Keep your Wi-Fi router away from other electronics. Do not put it on top of your microwave or right next to your cordless phone base. And if you have old, cheap electronics that seem to be acting up, they might be noisy. Sometimes replacing a $10 power adapter that is humming can actually improve your Wi-Fi stability.
I remember we talked about something similar back in episode 258 when we were comparing mesh networks to wired connections. The physical environment matters so much.
It really does. And as we move into 2026 and beyond, we are going to see more smart materials in buildings that are designed to either block or enhance specific frequencies. Imagine wallpaper that blocks your neighbor's Wi-Fi but lets your cellular signal through. That is the kind of stuff they're working on now.
That would be a lifesaver in some of the apartment buildings around here. The walls are so thick with rebar that it is basically a Faraday cage anyway.
Exactly. Jerusalem stone is great for many things, but it is a nightmare for 5G signals.
So, to circle back to Daniel's question, the balance is a constant, shifting negotiation. It is a mix of high-level government committees, sophisticated signal police in vans, and a lot of international coordination through the International Telecommunication Union.
Right. No country is an island when it comes to the spectrum. Radio waves do not stop at borders. If a country next door decides to use a frequency for high-power television that Israel uses for mobile phones, you are going to have a mess. There are international treaties that govern all of this. It is one of the few areas where almost every country in the world actually manages to cooperate, because if they do not, everyone loses.
It is a fascinating look at the hidden hand that keeps our world running. I think we have given Daniel a lot to chew on. It is not just bureaucracy for the sake of bureaucracy. It is about keeping the airwaves from becoming a chaotic mess when nothing works.
Precisely. It is about making sure there is enough space for the drone, the doctor's pager, and your favorite podcast to all exist at the same time.
Speaking of which, if you are enjoying our deep dives into the invisible and the obscure, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app. Whether it is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen, those ratings really help new people find the show.
They really do. We love seeing the community grow, and remember, you can always find our full archive and the RSS feed at myweirdprompts.com.
And a big thanks to our housemate Daniel for sending in this prompt. It definitely made me look at my router with a bit more respect today.
Just do not start wearing Larry's tinfoil tuxedo, Corn. I do not think it is your color.
Noted. No tinfoil for me. Well, this has been My Weird Prompts. I am Corn.
And I am Herman Poppleberry.
Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next one.
Until next time.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.